I shrank back into the stairwell and waited. Jaworski wasn't trying to be quiet. He was not expecting any interruption, and he certainly wasn't expecting me. I listened to his footsteps and the small rattle of the wire coil dragging behind him. Closer. He came through the door and a step past without seeing me. And then he saw the pictures.
"Woof,"
he said, as though he had been hit hard in the stomach. He stared, slack-jawed, unable to move, and then I was behind him with my knife at his throat.
"Don't move and don't make a sound," we said.
"Hey, look it," he said. I turned my wrist slightly and pushed the knife point into his skin under the chin. He hissed as a distressing, awful little spurt of blood squirted out. So unnecessary. Why can't people ever listen? I said, "Don't make a sound," we told him, and now he was quiet. And then the only sound was the ratcheting of the duct tape, Jaworski's breathing, and the quiet chuckle from the dark passenger. I taped over his mouth, twisted a length of the janitor's precious copper wire around his wrists, and dragged him over to another stack of shrink-wrapped sheetrock. In just a few moments, I had him trussed up and secured to the makeshift table.
"Let's talk,"
we said in the dark passenger's gentle, cold voice. He didn't know if he was allowed to speak, and the duct tape would have made it difficult in any case, so he stayed silent. "Let's talk about runaways," we said, ripping the duct tape from his mouth.
"Yow!
What do you mean?" he said, but he was not very convincing.
"I think you know what I mean," we told him.
No, he said.
Yes,
we said. Probably one word too clever. My timing was off. The whole evening was off. But he got brave. He looked up at me in my shiny face.
"What are you, a cop or something?"
he asked.
"No,"
we said, and sliced off his left ear. It was closest. The knife was sharp, and for a moment he couldn't believe it was happening to him. Permanent and forever, no left ear. So I dropped the ear on his chest to let him believe. His eyes got huge, and he filled his lungs to scream, but I stuffed a wad of plastic wrap in his mouth just before he did.
"None of that," we said.
"Worse things can happen." And they would. Oh, definitely. But he didn't need to know that yet. "The runaways?" we asked gently, coldly, and waited for just a moment, watching his eyes to make sure he wouldn't scream, then removed the gag.
"Jesus,"
he said hoarsely.
"My ear."
"You have another, just as good," we said. "Tell us about the girls in those pictures."
"Us? What do you mean, us? Jesus, that hurts," he whimpered.
"Some people just don't get it." I put the plastic stuff back in his mouth and went to work. I almost got carried away. Easy to do under the circumstances. My heart was racing like mad, and I had to fight hard to keep my hand from shaking. But I went to work, exploring, looking for something that was always just beyond my fingertips. Exciting and terribly frustrating. The pressure was rising inside me, climbing up into my ears and screaming for release. But no release came. Just the growing pressure and the sense that something wonderful was just beyond my senses, waiting for me to find it and dive in. But I didn't find it, and none of my old standards gave me any joy at all. What to do?